This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It is a Bruins Thursday. Mike Milbury coming up at 9. Next, we will get to They Said It and certainly discuss what Alex Cora said about whether Tristan Cassis will be determining who is a part of the opening day lineup for the Boston Red Sox. This, though, before we get to They Said It, is Phil from Dedham. Hey, Phil.
How you doing, Greg?
What's up?
Hey, I have a conspiracy theory on this McAvoy thing. For a sport that very rarely talks about injuries, they went into an awful lot of detail of when he got hurt, which part of the body, everything. I think if this shoulder thing lingers on, they're going to try to get out of that contract and blame it on Team USA's doctors to do it.
Wow. You're right. I lean toward them wanting to blame Team USA and the doctors for this.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but if Neely was talking about reshuffling or whatever he was a couple weeks ago, who's to say that McAvoy wasn't one of the guys he was going to move on from, and now that's all blown up because of this happened?
Yeah. Well,
That's an interesting point right there.
Yeah, it is. Injuries happen regular season. They happen.
Right.
They haven't generally happened in an all-star game or, in this case, an all-star tournament. So that is going to be the argument that people like Mike Milbury and, maybe Cam Neely and others use. I think it will be hard, as I said at the start of the show, for Don Sweeney to use that because Don Sweeney has been an advocate of the Four Nations face-off since its inception. The injury to McAvoy could have happened on a regular Tuesday night at the Boston Garden or in Canada.
But the way they're framing it, it's not like the injury couldn't have happened to him. It's just they're framing it as the diagnosis of the injury from the training staff
hurt him.
They underdiagnosed him where he was more hurt than what they thought he was.
And what Greg was, if the Bruins are upset, they're saying that, that injury could happen on a game with us, but our medical staff would have made sure that it wouldn't have gotten worse and it wouldn't have progressed to the situation that we're in right now.
Yeah, I mean, there are people who disagree, certainly, from a listener perspective. Here's a text from New Hampshire that says, "You wouldn't want this kind of malpractice in the regular season." No, I would never want this kind of malpractice at any time, but I definitely do not want the most competitive in-season tournament I've ever seen to be ended because somebody got hurt or somebody got misdiagnosed.
Yeah, but Greg, you keep saying misdiagnosis is a major thing. We dealt with it here as Patriots fans with Rob Gronkowski. Like, you expect those type of athletes that are playing at the highest level possible, but you expect them, they're spending millions and millions and millions of dollars on players, on facilities, on all this. So you expect that those type of all-star events would have the same type of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Talent off the ice, taking care of the talent on the
ice. Yes, exactly. Where they're, you know, so the diagnosis that they might, if they do have an injury at an all-star game, they would say, hey, McAvoy, based on what we're seeing, shut it down. Yeah. Not, oh, you're good, get back in there and play. And it's
No, I think hindsight being 2020, he should not have played in that game against Canada.
And that's why teams moving forward...
Curtis has mentioned it a bunch of times. He's right. It's his father-in-law making the decision about whether he's playing or not.
Right, but
it's his GM. Guys, it's his GM that is using this as an opportunity to get some relief from the pressure of his bosses and trying to get something out of the NHL or Four Nations, because he's saying that this could have happened anywhere, but as you guys have alluded to, he was not treated properly for what he was diagnosed to have.
So and then that's the question, why?
Well, I mean, it could be. I don't think any doctor bats 1,000, so maybe a doctor made a mistake. I don't know. I mean, it could. I don't think it was an intentional decision to inflict harm or cause more issues or an infection on McAvoy. I would find that to be impossible to believe, given the relationship he has with the coach.
No. But if the one caller says the team could be using this to say, oh, this injury, this is a way for us to kind of get out of the contract, or whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's a deep.
That's a deep state conspiracy. I get it.
I don't think that's
but
it.
I think when you look at McAvoy, and you, if you're a GM of another team and this Four Nation pops up, aren't you telling your players you can't play in this because we don't trust that you're going to get the proper athletic training staff?
That may be an issue, I guess, going forward. All right, Chime, let's do this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, where do you want to start this morning, Chime?
Well, Greg, let's begin with your Boston Red Sox. Alex Cora spoke to the media yesterday and responded to the Tristan Casas comments about Rafael Devers playing third base. Here is what Cora had to say about Casas.
Like I said, people sit here and we don't put limits on them, you know, and he said what he said, but at the end of the day, we're in the winning business. And from my end, we're going to make decisions based on competition and roster flexibility and versatility, and we're going to take our best 26 guys to Texas.
I like it. You're not, you know, you were not granted the third base job for life, Rafi.
All right.
So, do you feel more confident in Alex Cora solving this than you did earlier this morning when you hear that?
I'm just going to wait and play it and see how it plays out, but I ultimately think, like, when that's why I bet the other way. I think you see Devers more at third base this season.
So you think Devers has the power to overrule Alex Cora?
I just think that Devers is going to complain hard enough, and he's the, whether you want to call him the face of the franchise or not, he's the guy that in 5 years is still going to be here. And Bregman's probably not going to be.
And that was
Greg.
Initial...
Let me get this straight. So Bregman, Devers doesn't have the power to preclude Bregman from getting $40 million a year and being signed in the offseason after his manager was talking about it for 3 months. But he does have the power to say where he plays.
I don't think he. I just said he's going to bitch and complain to where.
Remind me, Wiggy. Was Rafael Devers the guy who last year midseason loudly declared about how they needed help?
Mm-hmm.
And did they go and get him help?
Nope.
Yes, they did. This season, they went and got him out.
I thought you meant
that. So last year, he's in the middle of the, you know, the one of the worst seasons they've had, he's like, we need help.
All right.
So they go and get him help, mm-hmm. and he objects to it. Like, you can't have it both ways if you're a leader, if you're the face of the franchise.
It is interesting that the first whispers about this whole situation, though, as soon as Bregman was signed, was that he was going to play second and was going to fill in for Devers right. at third whenever he was resting. So we've talked about this in other sports where the first whisper is usually the right one or what they're going to go with. So I just find it interesting that was the first report, and we've had Bregman say over and over again that he'd be fine going and playing second.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Right. And you have Devers, who's pretty adamant that he will not.
Right. One guy's.
And I just found it interesting, Greg, that Cora, in that audio, he sounded rattled. Boy, he sounded like this has really been hard on him, that he was totally caught off guard by the reaction.
I don't think Cora gets rattled
like,
much.
No. But it seems like, Courtney, you're spot on. One guy seems like he's willing to move.
Yeah.
Because he said it. He said, hey, wherever AC wants me to play, I'll play. And the other guy was like, well, would you be willing to move to another position? And he's like,
wait,
no.
He sounds like that because he's an adult. Because he's,
right, but we're not
he's
disputing
being,
that.
He's being an adult about
right,
it.
But you and I are not disputing that.
You're defending Raphael Devers.
Clearly you don't listen, man.
Listen
to what I'm saying.
Wiggy,
you're just overtalking me.
It's impossible not to hear you.
No, it's frustrating because I'm saying one thing and you trying to spin the narrative in another direction.
Okay,
hey, Ralphie.
What are you
saying? And listen, I'm saying to you this, man. It's like talking to a two-year-old. I'm saying to you, I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying that one guy has said he's willing to move, and the other guy has died on a hill and is adamant. It's like, I'm not moving to another position.
Because the other guy is acting like a spoiled brat.
And I agree with you.
We agree. But what is less of a headache for Cora, and what rocks the boat less to start off the season? Yes, if Devers ends up playing terribly, then you could see a change. But to start the season, if you want everybody on the same page, if I'm Alex Cora, it's less of a headache, and it rocks the boat less.
Alex Cora should not be worried about headaches, and I don't think he is. I think he's worried about winning baseball games.
Yeah, I hope so.
All right, we'll find out. We'll circle back March 27th.
But I think we all agree that it is childish to say, no, I'm not moving, even though it might be best for the team. Like that, we're not disagreeing on that. I think Wiggy and I are disagreeing with you and Curtis on why it wouldn't make sense to make everybody play a position if they're not on board for
it's
it.
It's just one guy. It's just making one guy, DH, one guy who you signed to a mega deal,
right,
because of his bat only. You didn't sign him to a mega deal because you thought he was going to be a Gold Glove winner. You signed him because of his bat. And so what?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, Greg. Jeff Passan weighed in on his perspective on this whole Rafael Devers thing and said something, Greg, relatively similar.
At the end of the day, man, the money in this situation is such that they are buying Rafael Devers' bat, and they can move him wherever the hell they want to. And the only question for me at this point is, does this thing get ugly to the point where he wants out?
Yeah, I would say this would be far closer to having, I would agree with Courtney and Wiggy entirely, if Devers was in a contract year. And he knew that moving off of third would cost him, you know, $5 to $10 million a year in the open market. Whereas he just got the biggest contract, I think, in team history.
Mm-hmm.
And he's being asked to just hit, which is what he's really good at. And I think, obviously, he's a proud guy. He probably has spent time trying to improve his defense. He improved from the year before to last year. But that's just how it's going to be settled. Cora knows that everybody can scream and yell, but the organization and the fan base are aligned in their desire for the best team on the field, and the best team on the field is Devers DH.
He got, listen, self-awareness is a difficult thing for all of us, but he got that giant contract because the Red Sox were backed up against the wall. You know, Mookie was gone, and they weren't going to do the deal with Xander Bogaerts, and so they had to save face and give that deal to Rafael Devers. I get it. But they gave it to him because of his bat, not because of his glove.
Yeah, the guy, we know
the guy,
that, though.
The guy has the most errors in Major League Baseball since 2017.
We know that, but we're still talking about a guy that is not...
He's a sieve over there.
But he's not just a sieve because he's your most valuable player.
Yeah, but
so
it's the
say
hot
what
corner.
You wanna, say what you want. He's your most valuable player.
Your most valuable player might be your ace, who is throwing 99 miles per hour before they even play the Northeastern Huskies tomorrow.
Right. You know that Greg went to like Brees' high school hockey games and joined in on the Civ chants about the opposing goalie. Like, you know, he was the one parent that was joining in.
All right, what's next, Shine?
Let's pivot over to football here, Greg. Christian Gonzalez appeared on the Frat Rules podcast, he was asked about Jerod Mayo, interestingly enough, and had this to say about his former coach.
Did you like him as a coach?
I did.
Yeah, he was a good coach.
I did. I think they did him a little dirty, giving him only 1 year.
But you know,
yeah,
that's the front business, office. So, front yeah, office's yeah. responsibility, huh? You just ball.
Right? Yeah, we're going to see what Braves do.
You still got the same DC up there? No, they a whole new coaching change?
It's a whole, they down there cleaned house.
And then when Bill left, they did the same thing? Or it was?
No, when Bill left, it was basically the same staff, just without
new,
Bill.
New coach.
Yeah.
Okay, so they did him dirty. They did Jerod Mayo dirty. I mean.
That they did.
Yeah.
I agree with him.
Is it a good thing, though, for these guys when they are going on these podcasts and saying the first thing that pops into their head, or is it a bad thing?
But who didn't think that he got done dirty?
I think
besides you,
okay. Besides me, I guess not a lot of people.
Right. So everybody like so him saying that is not like shocking revelation.
Do you think Jerod Mayo expected that he was going to be an extraordinary head coach in the NFL?
I don't know
not
what
in the first year.
Yeah, not in the first year. I think he probably was going to take his lumps. But do you think he expected that they weren't going to give him anything when it came to personnel?
I don't think that they...
Or staff.
I don't think that they expected...
That's a good point, Curtis.
I don't think that they expected it was going to be the dumpster fire that it ended up being.
How do they not expect that? When Curtis makes another great point, you went out and got Vrabel and then said, you know what, at the offense coordinator, let's bring back Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels was hanging around all over Massachusetts last year. Why didn't you bring him in?
Do you think that they expected that with Jerod Mayo as the head coach, there were going to be D-list wide receivers declaring that they had the best hands in the NFL publicly and questioning why the offense was being run the way the offense was being run? Do you think that they thought they were going to have guys that were in jolly old England, out enjoying too much shepherd's pie at 1 a.m. and sick.
Yeah, but stuff. Greg, but Gerard Mayo's first practice basically was on the fields in front of the fan base, and they allow Matthew Judon to dress him down in front of everyone. Something unlike the Devers comments.
Wait, they allowed
that was
it?
Predictable.
They allowed yes. it, or he allowed it.
What?
He
Matthew
it.
Judon got in his face and was screaming
Bill
at him.
Bill Belichick would have sent him home and shipped him off the next
day.
That's
Bill Belichick.
Well, that's Gerard
right.
Mayo. The
right.
guy, he doesn't. If
do you think
Gerard, if you're going to be a head coach in the NFL, you shouldn't need to have your hand held.
Do you think Gerard Mayo thought going into it that they weren't going to add any playmakers to the offense, or they were just going to ride with a bunch of rookies?
And he thought they were going to spend a lot of money. I also think it's crazy if you take into consideration that a lot of reports were that Kraft wanted Vrabel 2 years ago and that there was talk about that. Then they bring in Mayo. They almost give Vrabel on a silver platter, like the success that you would want in your first year head coach. Like Gerard Mayo having such a terrible season last year. Now you bring in Mike Vrabel. There's only one way to go, and it's up.
Do you think that Gerard Mayo thought going into it goes, oh, if Drake May is the better guy and we want to start him, that I'm going to have to fight an uphill battle to start him in week one?
I don't believe that the decision to fire him after 1 year had much to do with the record at all. I think it had everything to do with all of the off-field stuff that went on and the lack of control that he had over the locker room and the players. And then the final straw was that the guy went out and denied us the opportunity to have the number one pick, which I will never forgive him for. Ever.
Do you think they set him up for success, though? The Crafts.
I set him up for success. Like, I mean, he wants to be a head coach in the NFL. He needs to set himself up for success.
Yeah, but how can you set yourself up when they're not giving you the coaching staff, or they're not allowing?
Wiggy, they gave him the job with virtually no experience.
Right.
That's
right.
That's not doing somebody dirty.
That's
doing somebody a favor.
Greg, if you give someone a job without experience, then you do what they did with the Rams, and you bring in Wade Phillips. You bring in people who I think have a big role. I've never been in the NFL, never played in, you know, at Rivers we were good, but not quite. That the coordinators play a role in keeping guys in line. They do the job of the head coach, so the head coach doesn't have to be everywhere. They gave Gerard Mayo the same roster, basically, they had the year before. And they precluded him from playing the most important player from week one because the organization said it was a slow play, and Mayo bought in because he was told from day one that this was a long-term plan, that it was a year early, and that Robert Kraft trusted him completely. And then they take the legs out from under him. The second they start losing, there's whispers about Mayo and over the summer and Bedard reporting this, and Robert Kraft at no point empowered him. I don't think Gerard Mayo, with everything working, is a great coach. I'm not saying he's, you know, Vince Lombardi. I'm just saying that it is. I don't think you can argue that the Patriots did him dirty last year. I just don't think it's an arguable point.
Gerard,
okay. Here's your
Bentley with no wheels.
Okay. So Christian Gonzalez says that the Patriots did Gerard Mayo dirty, and what did he say? We'll see how Vrabes does.
Correct. Yeah. Yes,
that's a good way to start things off with a new boss. Vrabes, soon to be my neighbor, I hear.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, wow.
All right. We got to take we have to take a break. We will get to Courtney in today's news next.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.